So the song we just heard, the song we just have sung, is a favorite for many that start back in the 1960s and 1970s. Lots of youth groups and churches and youth camps would sing that song a lot. I remember my youth group, we sang that a lot. We didn't quite sing it the way we just heard it, the way we just did it, but we would sing it typically with Keith Krakovic, my youth pastor, and his guitar, and we would sing that song. And the song is still a favorite for many. A lot of you know the song and sang along with it, and it was recently re-recorded by groups like Jars of Clay and For King and Country. So it's a song that has a staying power, and I think it's because of the song, it's because of the tune, it's because of the truth and of the fact that it's rooted in Scripture. So this past week, I did some research on that song and was surprised by what I found out, because I thought the song for sure was written by some 1960s Jesus People California hippie guy that was, you know, playing the guitar, sitting around a campfire out there on the beach, and it turns out I was wrong. In fact, I was really wrong. The song was written in 1968 by a Roman Catholic priest. His name is Peter Schultes, and was part of an album his congregation recorded along with a bunch of church hymns. There are two things which motivated Father Schultes to write the song: Jesus' words in the Bible, in John 13, 34, and 35, which Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And then also he was motivated by a quote from a man named Aristides. Aristides was a Roman spy sent by the Emperor Hadrian into the Christian community in Rome because he wanted to find out more about these Christians because he'd heard things about them. And so Aristides came back with his report to the emperor of the Roman Empire, and he said some things about the Christians, and he said one of those was, "Behold, they love each other. They love each other." Which tells us from the very first days, Christians have been known by what? Love, by love for others. And while it's true that believers haven't always been perfect at loving others, they have been known how they love each other inside the church and how they love people that are outside the church. As Jesus said, please say it with me. It's up there on the screen right now. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And the first church in Acts 2 excelled at doing what Jesus said, at loving others. We see that in Luke's description of the first church in Acts chapter 2. They loved people who believed in Jesus, but they loved people who didn't believe in Jesus, people that lived around them. They simply loved others. So last week we talked about the first mark of the church in Acts chapter 2, and that is that it was a learning church, a learning church, a learning church that was demonstrated with three signs, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching is what the Bible says. The three signs of a learning church is they wanted to learn. They devoted themselves to learning more about Jesus, more about God. And desiring to learn more about God is evidence and sign of the Holy Spirit's presence in a person's life. That if you truly believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit will be in you, and the Holy Spirit will draw you to want to know more about God. And so the desire to learn is a God-given thing. It's a sign of a learning church. But also, it just wasn't that they wanted to learn. They put into practice what they were learning. It wasn't they just came together to listen, to take notes, and then to think about what was said. They put it into practice in the course of their lives, in the course of a week. They left the place where they were learning to go and do what they were learning. And then also they passed on to others what they had learned. We know that because it says at the last line of the description of the early church that, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So it was through their lives and through their witness and through their sharing of their faith that people became believers in Jesus Christ. So those were the signs of a learning church. And that's what we talked about last week. Today, we're going to talk about the second sign of a living church, of a New Testament church that we see from this first church in Acts 2, and that is that it is a loving church, because God wants every church to be filled with loving people, to be a loving church just like that first church. So God wants this church, wants you and me to be loving Christians, to be people who love those around us and love those that are next sitting right next to us, in front of us and behind us. God wants us to love others. So let me ask the question, how are we doing at that? How are we doing at being a loving church? Are we like this church in Acts chapter 2? I think that's a good question to ask ourselves because, again, God calls us to be a loving church. God's told us to love others. He's given us an example in that first church of even how to do it. So how did they do it? How did they show love for each other? What are some of the ways that they demonstrate love for one another? Well, let's read about them. And as we read about them, let's all sort of try to pay attention to the ways that we see that they showed love for each other. And like we did last week, since we're gathered together here as the church, let's read it aloud together as the church, okay? That description of that first church from Acts chapter 2. Here's what it says. Let's read it out loud. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So, as we look at this part of the Bible, this description of the first church, how did that first church show love towards other people? What stands out to you from what we just read? This morning I want us to make a list, actually here together, as you share what you think, what you see from that first church. I have a whiteboard behind me, and I'm going to call on somebody in the church to come up here and be our scribe. I'm going to call upon our youth pastor, Luke Troughton, because in his job description, there is this line that says, other duties as assigned. And this is one of those. This is one of those, okay? So we're going to team together. We're going to have some fun on this, all right? So here we go. And he didn't know I was going to do this. So how about that? That's going to even make this more fun. So what do you see this first church did that demonstrated love for others? What do you see? Hospitality, okay? Explain what you mean by that. Okay. Now, Luke, I need to tell you one thing. You need to make a column right down, split it right down the middle, okay? There we go. All right, good. Yeah, see? Terrific. I thought that'd be good, all right? So they open their homes, okay? Hospitality. They welcome people into their homes. Good. Great. What else do you see? Shared possessions. They share their possessions. Okay? So what's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours. Yeah, yeah. Which, by the way, I really like the car you drive, Elias. Teasing. All right. What else do you see? They took care of those in need. Right. That's how what they did with their possessions, selling some of their possessions. They took care of those in need. All right? They worship together. Right. They worship together. Good. Shared meals. Kind of goes along with hospitality and that, but also they shared meals. Absolutely. Food is a great connector, isn't it? Okay. Somebody else? Others? How about from the scholar section over here? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? Bueller? They prayed together. Exactly. Yes. They prayed together. Okay. What do you think they prayed with each other for? What do you think? Do you think it was probably the same things that we pray for each other? Do you think it's maybe if they would have asked somebody to write down on a scroll or on a piece of paper or papyrus in those days, that they would have written down the very things that we do? You know, I've got a sick, you know, parent or a child, or I need help with a job or some other concern. I think they prayed about the very same things that we prayed for because they're people just like us. All right? What else? They met every day. Yes, you noticed that. They met in the temple courts, and they also met in their homes. All right, so they came together not just once a week or so, but they came together regularly. Yeah. Do you think they enjoyed being with each other? Absolutely. That's what that also says to me. They enjoyed being with one another. Okay. Yeah. So they were committed to learn, right? Yeah, committed to learn. All right. And Elias, did you have one more? They loved each other. Yep, yep, right. Okay. Looking for one more, maybe. Worshipped together. Okay. Yep, we got that. I think there's a fourth one down. Put a squared, okay? There we go. We got two of them there. Okay, good. All right. Had the Lord's Supper. So they worshiped and they also had the, celebrated communion together. Okay. Wonders and signs were being done. So that is a reference to miracles being done among them. God's supernatural breakthrough into their lives to do some things which are spectacular. Probably maybe some healings in that. Yeah. We're going to talk a lot more about that as we get into the book of Acts, as that kind of reemerges along the way in the story of the book of Acts. All right. Well, that's a good list. Thank you, Luke. You can go ahead and be seated. Thank you very much for doing that. Okay. Yeah. So here's what I see. Okay. A lot of things that you saw. So they prayed together, and I think they prayed for the very same things that we would pray for in our church family. They met together in one place. So they gathered together. They enjoyed being with one another. They understood the importance of being together, of just showing up, of just coming week after week or day after day to see each other, and how important that is to say, I care about you, and I show that just by being here, by being there with you. So they enjoyed each other, and they encouraged one another in that way. They shared what they had. I read a line this last week. It's just so true. Listen to this. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Did you hear that? You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. That if you truly love someone or love something, you're going to give. They go together. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. So they helped those that were in need. Now, let me just pause right here for a minute about that. So four times in these verses, it says they shared with one another. They shared the meals, they shared possessions, they shared their homes. They just shared what they had with one another. So does that mean that the Bible's teaching communism or communalism, that we should all sell what we have and pool our resources and that would be it? It doesn't mean that, literally, or in terms of what the story tells us, because the translation of the Bible is literally that they sold their possessions from time to time. This gets into some Greek grammar, but it's what's called the imperfect tense, which doesn't mean they all put their stuff together and then one time they sold it all and then they all took care of one another. What it means is that from time to time, as needs arose within the church family, some people would take what they had, their resources, whether it was property or it was possessions, in response to that need, they would go sell that and take the proceeds of what they received, and then they would help that person in need. So in other words, they would share what they had. They would help people in need by sharing and selling what it is that they had. But it wasn't like everybody became part of a Christian commune. So don't understand that. And we know that also to be the case because what does verse 46 say? What does verse 46 say? What does it say that they met together where? Not just in the temple courts, but in their homes, which means that they still kept homes. There were people that had homes. So they all didn't sell everything they had and pool their resources, but they would, as needs arose, they would seek to meet each other's needs. And some would sell their homes or some would sell their belongings as they felt they were called to do that. So the point in that is this, that the giving to others was voluntary. People chose to do it because they're motivated by love and wanting to help the needs of the people around them. Giving and generosity was a natural result of following Jesus. Just like learning, wanting to learn more about Jesus is a natural result of the Holy Spirit within us, so also giving to help others is a natural result of following Jesus. Again, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. If you love Jesus, He's going to prompt you, the Holy Spirit's going to prompt you to help people in need because that's a loving thing to do. And also we should pay attention to the giving and helping others focused on the poor, on those that were needy among them, which is why I am so grateful at Northwood Church that we do the food drives a couple of times a year. It's an invitation for all of us to remember those among us and the community around us that live with food insecurity. They may not know where their next meal or maybe tomorrow's meal is going to come from. It's an invitation for us to be a loving church. And I'm so grateful also that we have from the Outreach Fund funds that you have given, that this last week we sent $1,000 to help with disaster relief for victims of the hurricanes in the southeast part of our country. Because if you're giving to the Outreach Fund, we all together have given something to help those that have lost homes or those are decimated. Now, $1,000 may not sound like a lot, but if every church gave $1,000, wouldn't that be something? That'd be a lot. That'd be a lot to help people in need. And because of your generosity, we're able to do that. Here's something else that's important to note. Two times we read the word together in these verses, but also it's not just the word together, but also almost every verse is sort of filled with references to how they came together. It is the Greek word koinonia. Perhaps you've heard that word. It is translated in the Bible, fellowship. fellowship. So koinonia was fellowship. What the koinonia was, literally in terms of definition, is it's what we share in common with each other. It's the common life they had because of faith in Jesus Christ. That's what brought them together. It wasn't because they just liked each other, because they liked the same food. It was because they shared in common a faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was the one who brought them together, knitted their hearts together, and knitted them to one another. So last week when our small group met Carrie and Amy Cosbo's, we listened to Lois Schultz. Lois, are you here this morning? I saw her earlier. Maybe she'll be in the next service. But Lois went to her 65th high school reunion that weekend. She had just come back earlier in the day. 65 years ago, she graduated from high school. 79 classmates in her school in Jackson, Minnesota. 30 of them came back for the 65th reunion. And she talked about a grand time it was and how nice it was to see the others that were there and connected with this person, that person. And it really was a wonderful moment. But you know, Christian koinonia, or fellowship, goes beyond reunions from high school. Christian koinonia, Christian fellowship, knits us together in a heart way that goes beyond just sort of what we share together in common history or our interest in common sports teams or in even common food and that. It's God knitting our hearts together so that we journey with each other. Because this very same small group last summer grieved with one of our group members when they lost a daughter unexpectedly to suicide. And that same day, five people from the group just went rushing to the house. Chris and I were there and others. That's Christian koinonia. That's fellowship. That's grieving with one another, bearing one another's burdens in a time of deep sadness and grief. And also people going through work challenges and unemployment, sharing that, praying for one another, walking with one another with through experiences like that. It's just being with each other. Koinonia goes beyond Facebook likes. It goes deep into heart and deep into life, and it's being there for one another. It's a beautiful, life-giving, transforming experience. And that's what they see in this first church. That's what they had. We also see that they express that love. These are all actions. These are things that they did. It wasn't just feelings they had for one another. It's things they actually got up and did in the days that they were together. They would get up and do things for one another. There is this great line called, love is a what? It's a verb. It's an action word. They didn't just have loving feelings for each other. They did things. And there is this really remarkable book by a guy named Bob Goff. If you've listened to Bob Goff speak, he is like one of the most, insightful, entertaining, dramatic speakers I've ever heard in my life. He's flailing right and left with his arms, and he's always talking about it, and he kind of laughs. He slaps his legs when he speaks. But his famous line is that love does. Love does. He's written a book by that title. Not just love feels, but love does. It's what we do with love. And that's what we see in this early church. And finally, I would also say in this list of things that we created that's about that church, that love for others persuaded others to believe in Jesus. Again, the last line, the description of that first church is what? And the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Love is the best persuasion about the truth of Jesus Christ. Yes, arguments and rational thinking and all that is important and explain things. That's very important. But ultimately, it's love which many times will move a person to believe in Jesus Christ. It's being a loving person to them and responding in love to their needs. Again, what did Jesus say? By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Not if you can argue with people about the truth of Christianity, but if you love one another. And what did that Roman spy say about those early believers? Behold, how they love one another. So that's the list of the first church, things that we can kind of look at, I think, and draw some ideas from. So let's look at the other column. So Luke, you want to come on back since you're still in the room? And this one I'm going to give you a green marker for, okay? So let's make a list, Northwood Church, of ways that we can show love for one another, okay? Might be some of the same ways that the early church did, the first church did, but what are some ways that we can show love for one another? What do you think? Go to the game night. Yeah, hang out and enjoy time together. Absolutely. Unsolicited advertisement. Thank you very much. Come hang out. That's meeting together. That's fellowshipping, right? All right. What else? Yes, Jane. Bring somebody a meal, the meals ministry. Yeah, we have a meals ministry, sort of like what they had a meals ministry. You bet. Yeah.
Pray together.
Pray. Pray together. Pray for each other. Pray with each other. Right. Right. Be in a small group. Yeah, where you land in community, where there you are together, opening up your lives to one another, experiencing fellowship, koinonia. Yeah. Join a small group. Worship together, right? Come often as you can, to the place of worship, to the house of worship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you feel prompted by God to help somebody, do it. When you hear of a need that you can meet that's within your realm, within your possibility, then do that. Kelly. Yeah. Stop and just listen. Listen. All right. All right. Jean-Pierre.
Giving a ride.
That is exactly right. Yes. Yes. Friends, if you don't know this, the Gutierrez don't have transportation here. They live at 46th and Nicollet. And every Sunday, somebody from our congregation goes to pick them up to bring their family here. And then also, they need to get groceries. And so typically what happens, you grab a quick meal together, then you go get groceries. And there's a team of Northwooders, a whole bunch of us, that do that. And if you want to have a great experience and get to know the Gutierrez, join the party, join the fun. But provide a ride for the Gutierrez. But not just also for them, but Al and Bev, right behind the Gutierrez. They need transportation as well. They live one block over here at the Silver Creek Apartments. And they need transportation to help to get here on Sunday mornings because they need their drive as well. And Bev has wanted, she's called me a few times to say, we need a transportation, we need a ride. So if you're willing to help out there, there's another way you can be of some help. And that's a loving thing to do, to make sure somebody can come to church. Who wants to come to church? You know? Yeah, absolutely. All right? Can you speak louder? Sharing possessions, sharing possessions. Chris lost her voice. Yes. Being present. Yeah. Just being present with him. Yep. All right. Do life together. That's really what we're talking about. That's where they put it all together. You can summarize it that way. All right, Luke, thank you so much. You've done a great job. Okay? So here's the list that I came up with in my own thinking this last week. So prayer like mountain movers, join the mountain movers prayer list. We have nearly 100 people now praying for others. That'd be great to have that even increased to 150. 2 years ago, we had 70. Now we're up to nearly 100, so may that continue to grow. Meals, small groups, financial assistance, phone calls, emails, texts, rides to church, mentoring, help with projects, sit in silence during moments of grief and sadness. And here's one this last week I read about, and I thought this was so important. Disagree well. You know, in this sort of world around us, when so many things are going around, and Christians are sometimes on all sides of the issue, we don't all have to agree with each other in everything. But let's disagree well. Let's be kind and gracious when we disagree and not villainize another side or another person because they don't agree with us. Unity does not require unanimity. We don't always have to agree with each other. We can disagree and still be friends and people in the body of Christ. Also, I put here the Christmas offering. That's one of the great ways you've demonstrated love for people outside of Northwood and inside Northwood is with the Christmas offering. In 3 weeks, we're going to announce what this year's Christmas offering is about. And I believe this with all my heart. Giving to the future building is an act of love for the present, for the students in youth ministry, for the children, as well as for future generations. Because of what we're going to sacrifice and give, others that are yet to come to our church are going to have a place to worship and call home. That's going to be great. So give to our future building is an act of love. So how are we doing at Loving Others Northwood Church? Do you think we're like the Acts 2 church? Do you think those among us would say about us, my, how they love each other? As pastor, I would say, yes, I see it, I hear it, I experience it, and I witness it. And I say this, may it continue, and may it grow. May God give us bigger hearts to love those among us and those outside of us that are not here yet. May we be a loving church. I'm reminded of what the Bible says in Galatians 5:22 and 23, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Remember the fruit of the Spirit? There's nine fruit of the Spirit, results of the Holy Spirit being in the believer's life. What is the first fruit listed? Exactly. Love. Which means that if we're a Christian and the Holy Spirit lives within us, what is the most dominant of all the fruit that's to be recognized in our life? Love. If Christians live a loving life, if all of us that are Christians here in this room live a life of love, we'll be a church that is a loving church. Am I right? I am. So 2 weeks ago, we began this series on Acts 2 in the church, calling it Dreams and Visions. And the goal is for all of us, every one of us, to experience Acts 2, 17 and 18 all over again, which says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And 2 weeks ago, I challenged all of us to spend this month, the month of October, listening to God for what is his dream, what is his vision for us personally, but also for his vision for us as a church family. And for you to be listening and asking God, what is it you want to do in my life now? What is it you want to do in this church now? And I hope you've been doing that. I've been doing that. And I hope that God is impressing upon you something fresh or something new, or maybe to keep doing what you're already doing. Maybe that's what he's impressing upon you. In the Northwood News this morning is this little card. These are the four marks of a living church. We've talked about learning. We've now talked about loving. On the back is dreams and visions. In the side here in the room are poster boards, which are foam behind the gray burlap. And what you're invited to do is, as God is speaking to you, maybe even today, maybe sometime this week, that you can write down, take this card, write it down, and then put it up there, either today or in the coming weeks we have before the series ends, so we can together be encouraged by each other's dreams and visions and bless each other with what God is saying, not just about me, but what God is saying to us. You're invited to do that. Because Northwood Church, God has made us a loving church because the Holy Spirit is in us and among us. He's doing that. But let's do it even more. Let's do it more in greater impact in this community and with each other. Amen? Let's pray. So God, we know you want us to be a loving church. So help us, Lord. Help us to do that. Help us to be obedient to your Holy Spirit who lives within us and who develops that fruit of love. May we follow your prompting spirit and be a loving church whenever you prompt us and the ways you prompt us, I pray. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.